Well, what a joy to sing tonight, and I'm glad to introduce to you Brother Mike McComby. There's some prayer cards out like this, and he and Miss Wilda have been a great blessing to many folks, and you can see a little bio, just a short one, in the prayer list there on the bottom right-hand fly leaf, and we're certainly thankful they don't live too far from here. They've served in as missionaries in Albania, and then also church planters up in Boston, but now they're to the unreached people of Greenville, Tennessee. So I'm not sure which field's harder, but Greenville's got to be. It's got to have its own little struggles. But no, the Lord used them in mighty ways. And then you never retire necessarily as a missionary, but you do reposition some things. And God has put them in Greenville, and members of Central Baptist over there, a good church. And then he travels around and speaks and does missions conference and meetings and different events that he's able to come along and be a blessing. And so we're certainly thankful for them. And then some time back, I knew I was going to preach at Crown College this morning, and so it just worked out to be a great time that he was free tonight. Just happened to be the Lord worked it out, and I asked him to come and preach for us. And they also, he and Miss Wilda, have him introduce her in just a moment, but also mother and father of Miss Amy Pugh that joined on Sunday with their family, and so we're certainly thankful to have them. And I would think any good mom and dad would come on up and join the church that their daughter was a member of, but we'll work on him later for that. But after church, you see if you can twist his arm and get him to come this way. You'd be open to that, right, brother? I knew he would be. Yeah. He'll give the typical missionary answer, oh, if the Lord leads. Yeah, so Brother McComby, why don't you come on up? And we're certainly thankful that he's here and grateful to have him as a good friend and an encouragement. He's always a blessing every time I get to talk with him. And we're certainly thankful to have him come here, be our speaker at Buffalo Ridge Baptist Church. God bless you, Pastor.
God bless you. Well, he doesn't have to twist too hard, but, you know, we'll pray about it. Amen. All right. We had to come up and make sure that our children and grandchildren are being good. You know, they are your newest members that joined Sunday night, Gary and Amy Pugh and Townsend and Olivia. And we just wanted to make sure they're fitting in here all right. And I think they believe they are for sure. And it's good to be here. We were here a few weeks ago when our former pastor, Pastor Paul Chappell, preached for you. And it had been 3.5 years or so since we'd seen him and his wife, and we wanted to come up and just hear him preach, and he's still preaching just as good as he always has. Take your Bible tonight and turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 15, if you would, please. And we have some prayer cards out there on the table in the foyer. We also have some free literature out there on the table too, BIMI World magazines and other magazines, and it's sure good to see Summer Scroggs, and met her grandfather and grandmother, and it's been a while since we've seen Summer. She's well on her way to Botswana, working over there with Brother and Mrs. Haley. We're excited for them. And we've been involved with BIMI since 1993, and for the last 17-plus years, we have been representing. We represented BIMI on the West Coast. That's why we were based at Lancaster Baptist Church, and we were out there 14-plus years, up and down the West Coast, all over the West, preaching missions conferences and trying to encourage young people to consider a life, and older people. My wife and I were 47 years of age when we landed in the country of Albania in Eastern Europe after it opened up as a mission field coming out of communism. So you're never too young, never too old to surrender to God's will, what God wants to do in your life. And if you have your Bible tonight, let's stand together and read 1 Corinthians chapter 15, beginning in verse number 8. 1 Corinthians 15 and verse number 8. Paul the Apostle writes, under the inspiration of the Lord Jesus Christ and the Holy Spirit, "And last of all, he was seen of me also as of one born out of due time. For I am the least of the apostles, that I am not meet to be called an apostle, because I persecuted the church of God. But I believe this is a key verse, and I want you to notice there's one word in there a number of times. We're going to focus on that one word. Paul said, "But by the grace of God, I am what I am. And his grace, which was bestowed upon me, was not in vain, but I labored more abundantly than they all, yet not I, but the grace of God, which was with me." Let's pray. Father, I pray that you would bless this service tonight, bless our time together in the Word of God, and Lord, may it be used to encourage us in our Christian lives. And Lord, we just thank you for Buffalo Ridge Baptist Church and its desire to serve you and reach souls here in this great Johnson City area with the great gospel of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Lord, meet with us, we pray and ask in Jesus' name, amen. Thank you. You may be seated. If I were to ask each one of you, if I could do that individually, but I'll ask that collectively since we don't have much time to go around, but a very good question, I think, that needs to be asked of every child of God is this: what motivates you as a Christian? What motivates you as a Christian? Well, you know, the Word of God mentions here in 1 Corinthians 15, Paul mentioned the word grace three times in verse number 10. You know, that word grace is an important word. If you were to form an acronym of the letters G-R-A-C-E for grace, we could remember it the best way this way: God's riches at God at Christ's expense. God's riches at Christ's expense. You know, some 131 times, I looked it up in the Strong's Exhaustive Concordance. If you don't believe me, check it out. Some 131 times, the word grace is mentioned in the New Testament. I'd say it's a very important word, wouldn't you? Paul said in Romans 5, verse 20, "Moreover, the law entered that the offense might abound. But where sin abounded, grace did much more abound." Aren't you thankful for God's grace tonight? God's riches at Christ's expense. Paul said here in 1 Corinthians 15 and verse number 9, he said, "For I am the least of the apostles, that am not meet to be called an apostle, because I persecuted the church of God." But I like this part, and I hope you can say this tonight as a child of God: "But by the grace of God, I am what I am." Could you say that with me together? "But by the grace of God, I am what I am." And Paul went on to qualify that by saying, "His grace, which was bestowed upon me, was not in vain, but I labored more abundantly than they all, yet not I, but the grace of God which was with me." Now, Paul qualifies his humility because of the grace of God. And he qualifies his humility here in verses 9 and 10 in several ways. He said, "I am the least of the apostles." And then he said, "I am not meet," or that means to happen to be near, beside of, or to fall in with the other apostles. He said, "I am not meet to be called an apostle," a title that God alone had given him. Why? Because he said, I persecuted the church of God. You see, no matter what we have done in our former lives, whether it was something as wicked, bad as Paul did by hauling in Christians before the Jewish authorities and having them slaughtered as being witnesses for the Lord Jesus Christ, or whether, no matter what sin we have committed, God's grace far outdoes our sin. Amen? Amen. God's grace gives us no room to boast. Amen? Take your Bible and turn over a few pages to the book of Ephesians. Ephesians chapter 3. Paul writes again here, and he's talking about that motivation of grace. Ephesians 3, in verse number 7, Paul wrote, whereof I was made a minister according to the gift of the grace of God, given unto me by the effectual working of his power, unto me, who am less, get this, than the least of all saints, is this grace given that I should preach among the Gentiles the unsearchable riches of Christ. You see, Paul goes on further to qualify his humility and his unworthiness there in Ephesians 3. He said, I was made a minister. Now, what is a minister? It's a servant of the Lord Jesus Christ. Then he said, according to the gift of the grace of God given unto me. In other words, what was Paul saying? It was all because of grace that I'm anything at all for God. Would that identify you and I tonight? I think it would. But it's all by grace, for by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. And Paul goes on, this gift of the grace of God was given unto me by the effectual working of his power. My friend, there is the effectual, powerful work in that word grace that saved our sinful souls. Because Paul said there in verse 10, for we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works. And Paul goes on to say, unto me, I am the least, I am less than the least of all saints, is this grace given to make all men see the mystery of the gospel. What is the mystery of the gospel? It is salvation through the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ and Almighty God. Oh, listen, what this world needs is grace. Amen? We look around us. We live in a sinful world. It is sick with sin. But what this world needs is to see the grace of God demonstrated through us as God's children. Oh, by grace, they can be saved as well as we. Oh, that is the ultimate reason that God's grace was given unto Paul and unto us also, Jew and Gentile alike. We all need the grace of God. Amen. But the question remains for us Christians. What are we doing with the gift of the grace of God? Well, we certainly need to share it with others. Amen? Now, go back to 1 Corinthians 15 again. 1 Corinthians 15. Based upon what Paul said grace did for him, and became his motivation, what should grace do for us? Well, I see three motivations in this passage tonight. Number one, God's grace can make us what we ought to be. Or God's grace can make us how God saved us to become. Let me ask you tonight, as a child of God, are you living up to God's potential of His grace that was manifested in your life at salvation? Because God's grace can make us what we ought to be, or God saved us to become. And friends, that is a positive motivation. Ask yourself, as a Christian, what motivates me? Paul said there in verse 10, but by the grace of God, I am what I am. You see, grace is not our crutch, but grace is our strength made perfect in weakness. And my friends, that is a positive motivation. Desiring to use God's grace in how it was intended by God to be used in our Christian lives. You see, we are all, as Christians, accountable for God's gift of grace. So I ask you tonight, what are we doing, and I include myself, with the gift of the grace of God? Well, how do we get more of God's grace? How do we allow grace to get more of us? Well, thank God, grace began on the cross of Calvary. And thank God, God reached down to you and I. And God's grace extended to you and I. Amen? Thank God for that. But in our day-to-day living as God's children, how do we get more of God's grace? How do we allow God's grace to get more of us? Well, in one of those 131 verses in the New Testament, and I'll give you some more. I can't give them all to you. We wouldn't have time tonight. But there are some verses that talk about how we can get more of God's grace bestowed on us as His children. James 4, verse 6. If you want to write these verses down, you can look at them at home later. It says, but He giveth more grace. Wherefore He saith, God resisteth the proud, but giveth grace unto the humble. Amen. Do we want more of God's grace? Yes, we can have it. But James said, God gives more grace to the humble. Peter said it likewise in 1 Peter 5, verse 10, but the God of all grace, who hath called us unto His eternal glory by Christ Jesus, after that ye have suffered a while, make you perfect, establish, strengthen, settle you. Take your Bible and look over to what Paul wrote in 2 Corinthians 12, beginning in verse 7. Paul had some physical issues. We don't know exactly what they were. Some Bible scholars and people that have done a little study about this have said that the Apostle Paul had a deficient eyesight. And it says here, and we don't know that for sure, but here in 2 Corinthians 12 and verse 7, Paul said, and lest I should be exalted above measure through the abundance of the revelations, there was given to me a thorn in the flesh, the messenger of Satan to buffet me, lest I should be exalted above measure. Verse 8, for this thing I besought the Lord thrice, three times, that it might depart from me. And he said unto me, my grace is sufficient for thee, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. Most gladly, therefore, as a result of what the Lord told him there, my grace is sufficient for thee. Most gladly, therefore, will I rather glory in my infirmities, that the power of Christ may rest upon me. Now, I don't know about you, but I don't like verse 10. Therefore, I take pleasure in infirmities, in reproaches, in necessities, in persecutions, in distresses, for Christ's sake. For when I am weak, then am I strong. Through what? Through God's grace. Amen. Oh, we'd all, I think some of us retirees can attest to the fact, I can sympathize, I can agree with the Apostle Paul, can't you? When I am weak, then am I strong, because the Lord said, my grace is sufficient for thee, for my strength is made perfect, Paul said, in weakness. Oh, what are the key thoughts? Well, we need to be willing to humble ourselves through our suffering, sin less, and strive to be more like our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. My friends, that is a positive motivation of grace. Oh, let me ask you tonight, is grace a positive motivation for you as a child of God? Oh, listen, we can be positively motivated by the grace of God. And then, not only should our goal be what God's grace can make us what we ought to be, or how God saved us to become, which is a positive motivation. Our goal, secondly, should be that the grace of God bestowed upon us by God should not be in vain or be empty. You know, 1 Corinthians 15, the last part of verse 10, Paul said, in his grace, which was bestowed or given upon me, was not in vain. That is a negative motivation, desiring not to waste the perfect and precious gift of God's grace. You know, child of God, each one of us has only a numbered set of years. We all don't know the number. We don't know how long we have left in this life on earth, but we need to live it to its fullest, using God's gift of grace that was bestowed upon us, which is a positive motivation, but also allow the grace of God not to be expended on us through the cross and the suffering of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, that we sang about tonight, bearing and shedding His precious blood on the cross of Calvary. Do not, by any means, let God's gift of grace be in vain to each of us. Oh, Paul said, we then as workers with Him, he wrote this to the church of Corinth in 2 Corinthians 6, verse 1, beseech or call you also that you receive not the grace of God in vain. If you got saved, Paul told the church at Corinth, he's basically telling them, don't waste what God has given you. Amen? He told much the same thing to the church at Philippi in Philippians 2, verses 15 and 16. He said, that ye may be blameless and harmless, the sons of God, without rebuke in the midst of a crooked and perverse nation or generation. Does that sound like where we're living today? And he said, among whom ye shine as lights in the world, holding forth the word of life, that I may rejoice, Paul said, in the day of Christ, that I have not run in vain, neither labored in vain, basically by giving you the gospel and seeing you saved. There is no greater joy than a pastor or a missionary has, like your pastor, the Apostle Paul, that when he sees people saved, that they do not allow that positive motivation of the grace of God turn negative, and that grace is in vain. Oh yes, thank God our souls are saved, but is that all you got out of salvation? There is more to salvation than that. Amen. Oh, don't waste what God has given us. Paul said to the church at Thessalonica, 1 Thessalonians 3 verse 5, he said, I sent to know your faith there to the church, lest by some means the tempter have tempted you and our labor be in vain. Romans 6 verses 1 and 2, Paul wrote to the believers in Rome, what shall we say then? Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? God forbid. How shall we that are dead to sin live any longer therein? You know, there's one thing for sure that grace is not. It is not a license to sin. Get that. Grace is not a license to sin. Amen. Let me ask you tonight, is grace a negative motivation for you in the fact that you do not desire in any fashion that the grace of God was bestowed upon you and that it was all in vain? Oh, let's not look at God's grace that way. Amen. And then grace, thirdly, should motivate us to labor for God more abundantly. Last part of 1 Corinthians 15, verse 10, he said, but I labored more abundantly than they all, yet not I, but the grace of God which was with me. I see not only there in 1 Corinthians 15, 9 and 10, a positive motivation and a negative motivation that grace can be, but I also see that grace can be a fruitful motivation. Amen? A fruitful motivation. Tonight, as a child of God, what are we doing with the grace of God? 2 Corinthians 8, verse 9, one of my favorite verses. For you know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, yet for your sakes he became poor, that ye through his poverty might be rich. What motivation that is. For you know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ. Peter said in 2 Peter 3, verse 8, but grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. To him be glory both now and forever. Amen. Now, I don't believe you would be here on a Wednesday night in the middle of the week if you did not want to grow in God's grace. Amen. And what a joy it is to see you here on a Wednesday night at Buffalo Ridge Baptist Church. That's an encouragement to me. Oh, Paul said, but I labored more abundantly than they all. Yet not I, but the grace of God which was with me. Let me ask you something tonight. Is grace a fruitful motivation for you? Is God's grace causing you to want to bear fruit for your Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ? You know, we'll go through these real quickly. We're running out of time. But I can see three categories in a Christian's life that grace stands connected with. First of all, it stands connected with Christian growth. Listen to these verses. Ephesians 4, verse 29. Let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth, but that which is good to the use of edifying, that it may minister grace unto the hearers. In other words, our words can minister grace to whoever hears us. What comes out of our mouths? Amen. Colossians 4, verse 6 says, let your speech be always with grace. So the words of our mouth can produce grace. How about Colossians 3:16? Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom. That's God's word. Teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. And thank you, brother, for leading us in some songs that taught us to praise the Lord with our songs in our mouths in grace, and then to worship God's word and to read it and to study it. 1 Thessalonians 1, verse 12, Paul said that the name of our Lord Jesus Christ may be glorified in you, and ye in him according to the grace of our God and the Lord Jesus Christ. You see, we ought to be glorifying God, amen, with the grace that God has shared with us. How about Hebrews 4, verse 16? Let us therefore come boldly before the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. Our prayers to God can produce more grace. Amen. How about Hebrews 12, verse 28? Wherefore we, receiving a kingdom which cannot be moved, let us have grace whereby we may serve God acceptably with reverence and godly fear. That's talking about serving God through the avenue of God's grace. Oh, we could go on and on and on, but I think you get the gist. I got two more categories. I won't get to them. But there's Christian growth. There's Christian service, like grace be unto you and peace from God our Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ. He said, I thank my God always on your behalf for the grace of God which is given you by Jesus Christ. You know, we just can go around thanking the Lord and thanking each other for the gift of grace, can't we? Take your Bible concordance sometime and look up those 131 mentions in the New Testament alone. We don't have time to do it justice tonight. But do a personal Bible study on that word grace. Amen. And think of what grace can do in your life, in your Christian growth, in your Christian service, in your Christian giving, in your time, in your talents, your treasures, your service for the Lord. Oh, we need to ask ourselves constantly, every day, what motivates me? That's a good question. Should it not be the wonderful, matchless grace of God working in us. My friends, if we cannot be motivated by God's grace, what can we be motivated by? I ask you, what can we be motivated by? I'll end on this. Two verses. Ephesians 2 and verse 7 says that in the ages to come, can you imagine what the ages to come are going to be like beyond this old sinful world? That in the ages to come, He, God, might show the exceeding riches of His grace in His kindness toward us through Christ Jesus. Can you imagine, ladies and gentlemen, what heaven is going to be like? Somehow, Pastor, I believe it's going to be full of God's grace. Isn't that going to be wonderful?
Amen.
Amen. Take your Bible and turn one last verse, the last verse in the Bible, Revelation chapter 22. You know how God ends the Word of God? I find this amazing. As I went down the list in my Strong's exhaustive concordance, I found the last mention of grace in the last verse of the Bible, Revelation 22, verse 21. Can we read this together, please? Set, go. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you all. Amen. I think that's pretty good, don't you? That's how God just finishes off the Word of God, mentioning the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you all. Amen. You know what God wishes and I wish, my wife wishes? That the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ in the days ahead, however long we have, will be poured out on Buffalo Ridge Baptist Church. Oh, we need an extra measure, Paul said, of the gift of grace in our lives. Are you a vessel, an open and clean vessel that God's grace can continue to pour through and work? I trust that we all are. Let's bow our heads in prayer. We'll ask the pastor to come. Father, we thank you, Lord, for God's grace. Paul said, but by the grace of God, I am what I am. Oh, Lord, we thank you for that positive motivation of grace. We thank you, dear Lord, for that negative motivation of grace, that we use not the grace of God, we've not received it in vain, but that we would use the gift of grace in our lives to be fruit-bearing vessels, and that the Lord Jesus Christ and His grace would be with us all until the Lord calls each one of us home. Lord, work in our hearts through that wonderful gift of God's grace, and we'll thank you and praise you for it. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen, Pastor.
As we stand together, if you're able to, and they begin to play something through, here's my thought about that. Is the grace of God, is it being wasted in our lives? God has given us so much grace. For by grace you save through faith, that not of yourself. We understand the grace of God. I don't want to squander that and waste it. And have you ever, you've given stuff to people before and they just seem to count it nothing? That's kind of a kick in the gut. But I want to be a good recipient of grace, of the grace of God. want to use what he's given me for his glory. And so if God's moved upon you tonight, and you see the need to let God's grace work more fully in you, or maybe you've seen the need tonight to be more of an instrument of God's grace, God wants to use you in the life of somebody, would you make a holy decision to the Lord? Here's the invitation. The altar is open. You're welcome to come. If God's speaking to your heart, I invite you. Maybe you need to share something with the Lord. Just make it clear, Lord, this is what I give to you. As they continue to play, maybe God's speaking to your heart in some other way. There's a need you have, and you just want to go to the Lord about that. I invite you to come. Maybe you're here tonight and you're not sure that you're saved. Salvation is all by the grace of God. You don't work it up. You don't pull it down. You don't get good enough. It's just the grace of God. If you need to be saved, would you step out and come and let me or somebody take a Bible, show you how that grace can be applied in your life and you'll be saved. Thank you. You may look this way. Well, what a joy to be in church tonight. I trust that you've been blessed. And Brother McCombie, thank you for being our guest today. I'm going to ask you and your wife, if you don't mind, to slip out by the table. And Brother Gary and Miss Amy, you all want to slip with them. Maybe they'll know better to connect the four of you together. And so you'll know who this good family is and that they're newest of our church, and we're thankful that God has brought them our way. But if you've got some questions about some trips or some BIMI things, and Brother McCombie can help you with that. But I hope that you'll get by and just get to meet them and extend some Christian encouragement to them as they go. I failed to mention earlier, as we were going through all those prayer requests, that also got word today from Brother John Stevens that Marilyn is in the hospital having some heart episode. And so I'm not sure any of the details more than that, just something going on with her heart. And so Brother John Stevens was our interim pastor for some good while before I was here. And so they're a special, special couple. And so please keep Marilyn in your prayers if you would. I believe that's it. Thank you for being in church. God bless you. Say hello to a few people before you leave. You're dismissed.